Acupuncture.
Acupuncture is the original biohack.
Binaural beats. Nootropics.
Tom, can you even spell nootropics?
Supplements. Psychedelics.
They told us not to take drugs. Now there's all this research on taking drugs.
Science of compounding. Orgasmic meditation.
Individual results may vary.
And a whole bunch of other stuff we find interesting.
I don't want to spend 12 grand to shine a red light on my junk.
Just a couple of guys talking about somewhat strange health stuff.
There's something weird here, but I can't put my finger on it.
Irreverent Health starts now.
Why, hello there, Tom.
How you doing, man?
Oh, you know, man, I'm chilling.
All right, that's good. I got to tell you, I was about to pass out, and then we threw around some topic ideas. It got me all
fired.
Put a little piss and vinegar in me.
Yeah. Well, you know. So you know it is funny because like I found that like one of the things that I like about doing the show is that you and I liked ahead of time is that, you know, people, I get passionate about conversations. You get passionate. Everybody gets passionate about conversations, but you never really kind of understand ahead of time what conversation you're going to be like. Go fuck yourself or they rip your fucking arms
off
of your torso. Yeah.
Like, I try and meet people where they're at. That guy's a cocksucker.
Yeah. Right. And then there's other times you're like, this should sound super fucking interesting. And it sounds, I don't care.
You're like, I'm sorry, man. I just don't give a shit.
I literally couldn't care less right now. Like,
why are we talking?
Yeah, right. And it's funny with this particular, like, you know, kind of overall topic that we have. It's just a fun. This is really what I love about this is, you know, like this place, this little space that we play in, is filled with idiots.
And general madness. And if we pull back, we're all just trying to figure it out. And at the same time, we'll dig our heels into something, express our biases, which we talk about all the time. And then it's like I'm a turncoat on the biohacking term, you know. It's like I'm like I don't want to use that one anymore.
Really even like that term ever.
It was a marketing
sort of
term.
Douchebaggery.
And unfortunately, I mean, we've got friends that actually know the inventor of that term. And
I get it, but still, I mean, it's like I don't know. It definitely is one of those things where you're like, all right, well, it's the term we all use.
But I mean, the funny thing is we look like we fit into that crowd.
Oh, no. I've used that term a million times. I mean,
we're two middle-aged white guys that don't want to die.
And it's really funny because like I've actually said that, like, what do you find interesting about it? I was like, well, you know, at a 50,000 foot view that everyone says it's about health, it's about mortality. Let's just be fucking.
Oh, absolutely. We're all scared to death of dying.
Like, yeah. Let's just fucking call that out for a second.
Yeah,
like people do this shit because they do not wish to perish. Like, and so.
And even the aging process, I would say, is proof that you're getting closer to death. And that's why we're pushing back in that anti-aging arena so hard, right?
Well, I mean, now, we just talked about it last week about the, about the Sinclair.
Turning the clock back. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I just, you know, I think one of the things that gets me borderline horny about hearing those articles is like, you're like, holy shit, we're going to fucking live forever. Like, and it's like, and then when people are like, no, I don't do it. No, you're fucking lying. Like, lying. Outright.
Mortality is a real hurdle. We can call it existential, but you are going to die, you know?
Well,
so
there's nothing existential about it. I mean,
like,
it can get existential with a lot of acid, I guess. Nuts and bolts there. You are here presently and won't be at one point. Like
death and taxes.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, it is kind of funny because underneath all of this, surfacely underneath all of this, is a thin veneer of something interesting to talk about and a very thick mantle of holy fucking shit, I don't want to die.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, the fragility that this field or those people that adopt this, you know, to that dogma. No, I just want to live the best life I can. I just want to, because if you don't do that, you fucking die.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. You know, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, and I remember you ever see, I think we talked about this one time on here, but remember that movie In Time with Justin Timberlake where everybody, where time is currency? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, but like there, wasn't there like three or four versions of that movie? Wasn't there like...
I'm sure there is. It seems like a reasonably recyclable...
And it plays on our fears, our mortality, all that stuff. And I'm sure there's more than one where like the wealthy people can live forever because they trade currency like others, or they trade time like others' currency.
Well, that's kind of where this movie was, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the really rich people have like 50 bodyguards that swarm them like a queen bee anytime they walk around, because the only thing that can kill you is a physical accident. Like, you know, something falling on you, somebody shooting you, whatever, like that'll still kill you. But like, you're not going to ever die any other way. And I'm like sitting there going, you know, how far off are we from that right now? It's getting fucking closer by the second.
Well, you know, I mean, if we look at it, you know, and if we're not to get too political here, which I seem to do, yeah. But like, you know, there's plenty of people going like, look, this, there's a worse separation, inequality of wealth spreading. And I'm wording this all wrong, but, then there was during, Lenin's rise to power and overthrowing the czars of Russia, and more so than the French Revolution. There's a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots than there has ever been in any other, political climate.
How is that at all shocking or?
No, well, I'm like, dude, there's guillotines. We fucking like eat the rich. Yeah, let's fucking do that. You know, it's like,
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, we didn't have the sort of cognitive capacity, I don't think, to forecast this before, but we do now. Like,
oh, I mean, this was plenty of people talking about it.
No, I know this is an inevitable conclusion of where the roller coaster we got on only ends here. Like, I mean, yeah, kind absolutely. Of thing, like, you know, like it's like this is it, you know, like we're, and now, and I don't, you know, I'm not even sure that we are even in endgame yet, but I mean, it doesn't change. Like, this is predictable in every meaningful
way. Oh yeah. I mean, you know, like I think we're going to, in our lifetime, we're going to see, like, you know, we talk about the gun violence, we talk about the mass shootings and all this stuff. And isn't that just a symptom of this? Like, isn't that all just a symptom of like everything else in our life being out of control and on fire, you know?
Right. Yeah. And like, there's so many, it is funny because there's a couple ways of thinking about this, right? Like, on the one hand, we are not, this conversation is not new, which is basically like, we're going to, you know, we're going to be there in 2 seconds, right? Like, we're almost there. Like, what was that book? Last Generation to Die or something. That thing was written forever ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was basically like, it was responding to the zeitgeist of that time, which was, we are on the precipice of solving this dying thing. Like, it's going to happen any minute now. Right. And then what's his name? Who was the one who took all those supplements every day so he can see the singularity? Was that Kurzweil? Was that? No, it wasn't. God damn it. I can't. One of these guys, right? He's like, and he was convinced that he's going to see the singularity and he's doing this thing, right? And it's like, you always find it always feels like it's like free beer tomorrow kind of thing.
Just out of our reach, right? It's like, right, all those doomsday prophets, like, no, we're dying totally,
right?
It's gonna be September 3rd and sure, you know, September 4th rolls around, oh shit, I did the math wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, you know, so we're, and I just looked it up. The Last Generation to Die was published in 2004. Right. So 2004, that was damn near 20 years ago.
Wow. Holy shit, man.
Yeah. We were so sure that solving death was happening tomorrow. Now, in the blink of human history, that is.
Not even a drop in the bucket. Yeah,
it's like not even far off, right? And but here's the thing: instead of having currency, like time as currency, you're going to have actual currency as currency in this case, right? And now all of a sudden, if you've got a couple bucks in your pocket, then you could probably live a little longer, right?
Yeah, but like, and I still would argue that you're exchanging your time for said currency.
Well, you still are. Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah, I mean, we could. Yeah, like, yeah,
there's just one more step in there.
There's just one more step. Yeah, but I mean, that extra step makes a big difference in yeah. perception and interpretation.
And some people have taken much bigger steps than others.
Sure. But like, I mean, it is. I don't know. It's fascinating to me how everybody binds to these things very quickly, and I think it's fair to say that summarily, we're all sort of hopeful that there's a grain of evidence or a grain of truth to this. Like, right, in reality, we will live to be 190, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's not science fiction per se, but it's hardly proven science either.
And
right?
and we need there's a few big steps in there that we got to figure out to bring that out. You know,
right, right. So like we, you know, and you know, I know we're going to talk about this guy, but you know, he's spending $2 million a year, right, to fucking live forever. And like, so we could safely say that if he is not the most, like if he's not the guy on earth throwing the most resources at this problem, then I would love to know who the other guy is.
I mean, you know, remember, was it Kobe? Was it? Somebody else was saying that they, you know, and it was an insane number there where they were spending like $500,000 on their health. Right. But like, you know, when you look at an NBA player and their career contracts, you know, like if they play long enough, that could be $100 million.
Sure.
You go, why wouldn't you throw that amount of money at it
sure.
or more to keep you up and running? You
well,
know?
It's relative too, right? If you're a guy who makes 50 grand a year, you know, a $10 copay, you feel that.
You feel it, yeah.
Right. But it's not going to kill you, but you're going to feel it, right? Kobe probably feels that, but it's not going to kill.
Well, like, you know, but like, you know, I think in that case too, if that adds another year of playing, that offsets it completely.
Yeah, 100%. And like, it's not just that, but like the thing that's going to be, I think, true for a long time to come. And by a long time, let's try to put a guess around that. Like I'm thinking, for the next 20 years safely, we're going to be in a spot where something revolutionary is going to come out next year.
Right? Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, and that's going to cost, let's say, $1 million to do. It adds 20 years to your life. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
Well, 5 years from now, doesn't cost $1 million anymore. Now it costs 200 grand and a lot more people are doing it, which is going to further drive the price down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So pretty soon, within 10 years, that $1 million thing, you might be able to pick up for 40 grand. Right. And
you're still going to price out the majority of the population with that, but it's going to open it up to quite a few people.
Well, 30 years from now, it'll cost $12. You know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those
things.
It'll
come out of a vending machine.
Yeah. It'll come out of a vending machine. You'll just get it over the air. You know, it'll be downloaded into your chip.
Amazon will come with a drone and it will be injected into you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like when you think about, yeah, exactly. When you think about, I mean, Teladocs, imagine what Teladocs look like in 30 years. It's literally a fucking drone that comes and hands you just your shit.
Shoots a suppository up your ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even like, I mean, it's crazy. We can go on about that all day, but like, I think that what we're going to find out in the near future that the shit that we have access to do, because I mean, we're starting, the Venn diagram is getting significantly bigger now. This guy spending $2 million a year on his health, that is a fucking compelling story. I mean, it is this dude who is spending $2 million and he's not making any decisions. Like none of this shit is out of his mind.
He's got a freaking team of experts
who is also not making any decisions, by the way. Like, they're not. They're feeding an algorithm that they collectively made.
Yeah.
And every day, all the vital signs and all the measurements that they take for, like, every organ, they do tests for organ, for skin, for, I mean, breath, everything. Blood, it's fucking, you know, urine, fecal matter. I mean, they're doing all kinds of tests.
Everything.
Right? And they're doing it every day. And then that thing spits out a recipe. Like, what was it? Like, work out for 67 minutes. Exactly.
And then like vitamins that are tailored almost daily too, you know,
your vitamin,
what are your nutritional needs today?
Yeah. And it's like fascinating to me that they're doing this. And then like, so, you know, and you have to expect this. And I think it's only the responsible thing to do. The medical response to that has been largely, well, look, you know, there's like literally zero credible evidence that backs any of this. That yeah. said,
yeah,
you know, none of it's going to kill you either. Like this yeah, is not, like,
you know, I think we're all just trying to fire our best shot, you know, in this case, you know, it's right. like, look, this research is compelling, but I feel like I do that too, where it's like, oh, I found three studies that say this is great. Well,
right.
Well, is that a big body of evidence?
He said for every 365 days that go by, so every 1 year, he only ages 277 days. And I'm, you know, when I look at it through this lens, I say,
what is the okay. math on that? Now I got to
like, you know, like, so now what's interesting about that is that you're like, okay, well,
he's reducing his aging by almost 25%.
Right. So he's 47, I think it was, but he's got the age of a 42-year-old. Like he's got yeah. the biologic age.
And didn't he say something like he's trying to get his biological age to match his like 20-something-year-old son's?
Yeah, no, he wants to. I think he said 18. He's trying okay, to drive it right. back to 18. Now, here's the funny thing, right? Like, forget about, like, if you think the guy's a crackpot, think about these ideas are nuts, like, or just think he's some rich douche doing this because he can. Whatever you say about it, this is a compelling tale, right? Like, I mean, wait a minute. Hold on. You are aging at 70% capacity? Like what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, and that is if that's 25% below the average,
75% capacity, like
you're, you know, I mean, think about that. If his life expectancy was like, let's say
80.
Yeah, 80, that's
yeah, so now what you're 100.
Yeah. I mean, that's putting 20 years on the clock.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying, like, I mean, we should all be taking a pause to think about the impact of that, right? And like the meaning of that. That is impressive because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about stuff here, it's mostly like it's mostly like really theoretical, but this guy's got actual data to prove it. Now, the magic and curse of N of one science is that it is N of one. So
yeah, you're not drawing from a big pool of experience there. Yeah.
Well, right. And we don't know this guy. I mean, one of the biggest arguments with Wim Hof is that they have a genetic disposition to larger deposits of brown fat, which
initially. Yeah.
So they start off just at a huge biological advantage. Same thing with Michael Phelps in swimming. He's got Marfan's disease, they think.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, he's a genetic freak.
And he's got these giant fucking flipper hands, which is great for swimming. But like, it's not that he was.
He's got flipper hands attached to a giant oar.
Yeah, right, right. And then like Lance Armstrong, you know, that's an actually, the whole blood doping thing is also really fascinating too. Because like, if you think about it, it's not, there's no drugs involved at all, right? You're just transplanting blood.
You're just
blood.
Using your blood back.
Yeah, you're just using it back. But here's the thing, that trick worked. And I'm, don't quote me on this. So I don't want somebody to fact check me here because I'm expressly just making this part up because I can't remember any of the details. But
that's what we do here.
Yeah. He, if an average human who'd blood doped, even an average elite athlete blood doped, and let's say they had a 5 response to this,
yeah.
Lance Armstrong's biology gave him like an 8, like yeah. just by itself. So he wasn't doing anything different than anybody else on that tour. The only difference is that his body and whatever chemical cocktail that he's made of.
Yeah.
Really fucking did well.
It was like, perfect.
Yeah. It was like amazing. Right.
You know what the most upsetting thing to me about the Lance Armstrong story when all that went down was one of the dumbest movies that I will watch every time and laugh until I cry. Is the dodgeball story?
Yeah, yeah.
And scene with Lance Armstrong is completely invalidated.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. I'm like, fucking ruin the movie.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. What was that line though when he was saying something like, I almost got up too while I was sitting on the couch fighting testicular cancer. Yeah,
he's like, what are you dying from? Mostly embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
or was it shame or something?
Yeah, whatever.
Like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's hilarious.
I was like, that was the turning point in that movie. That was the pivotal moment.
And I mean, it's invalidated. There was a Twitter post from Lance that somebody is like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he took a picture with his feet on the couch with all like seven of his tour jerseys framed on the wall. He's like, "Just hanging out." Yeah. I was like, I love it. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh God, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so this guy's like really doing it. But like the thing is like that could, I mean, look, like I said, I don't think anything he's doing would even come close, harm you, let alone kill you.
Well, you know, I mean, look, if you go with certain mainstream beliefs, you're just peeing out expensive vitamins, you know, like you're not even using them. Right. So it's definitely not going to hurt him.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you ever seen, you ever get Facebook spam from that dude who like has like, he's like shredded Vince something or other. And what is his name? I get Facebook spam from him all the time.
Is he the one
you take the free body quiz?
Yeah. Are you ectomorphic, endomorphic? Yeah, right. Mesomorphic.
We've seen
yeah.
all these things a million times before, but like, yeah. There is something about the presentation layer, right? Like he does an excellent
It's marketing.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does an excellent job of detangling that and like kind of putting the right dots together, right? Like everybody who's dorky like us has done a body quiz at some point.
Yeah.
But like he kind of laid it out there, but then said, okay, well, here's why you actually give a shit about that. Like, it's not, you know, you don't want to, you know, like other than just spitting a bunch of facts at you. He was like, basically like, and I loved what he was doing. He's like hanging off a fucking pull-up bar with like every muscle in his body. Like he's got bigger intercostals than I've got quads. It's like, the guy's like, just, you know, and he's just like, and this, you don't lose weight doing this either. And he's just hanging upside down, eating like a wrap or something. And I was like,
yeah,
you know, okay, you're funny too. Like, you know, like this is funny.
But
like,
but that's it, right? Isn't that the perfect marketing campaign where it's entertaining and engaging and it makes sense to people, you know?
Right. And I think that what this guy is going to be challenged to do is sort of synthesize that, because I mean, he's clearly going after something here. Like there's a
marketing thing. This is going to be.
He's like, selling something.
Somewhere are you down a CEO? The, yeah, right, buy right. my patented, you yeah, know, yeah. technology that'll do this for you.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what his angle is, but there's an angle there. You should be sure.
There has to be. Yeah, you know, somebody that's worth that much isn't going to do that to themselves and not walk away with a money-making idea from it.
Think about this too, though, man. Look, I've been in marketing a long time. Mm-hmm. That what he is doing, if you list it out in bullet form, looks like it could take all day. The reality is, he's probably got a toilet that he shits and pisses in that when he flushes it, it goes into a testing tank because he does it so many times that they can't sit there and take samples all day. Right?
I don't know. How wealthy is he? He might have like a servant collecting it.
and even if he does have to give samples, you got to pee anyway. Like what's the difference? Pee in a cup like for 2 seconds. I mean,
yeah.
Taking blood tests, that takes 5 minutes. You could take 30 tests in 5 minutes, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, with a blood or with a poop and pee samples, like, you know, after that, you're going to go to the gym anyway. So just might as well go for 67.5 minutes. At the end of the day, I'm kind of like thinking, I'm like, this probably sounds a lot crazier on paper than it is in reality.
You know, but there is a little bit of madness there. Like if you're getting it down to the seconds.
Yeah, but like, you
what do? Do you drop the weights? What, you know?
Well, what isn't clear about that is how do you get to the $2 million? Because if you're counting salaries of his staff that are processing all these numbers, then $2 million is really, you can get there quick.
If he's paying a bunch of MDs, yeah. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can get there quick, you know, if you're counting salaries. And then if you've got a lab in there, even if it's the size of a walk-in closet, like, you know. Like,
the tech is probably stupid expensive.
The tech is super expensive. Then you're going to amortize that over years for, you know, leasing and whatnot. I mean, like I can get to $2 million.
Well, yeah, I get you. But I also think $2 million is like, wow, look at how astounding that is. Look at how much.
No, but that's my point. You know? Like that's what I'm saying. Like he's got this marketing motivation to be.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. Like,
but wasn't that Aspreys thing? Wasn't that like, oh, look, I spent, you know, $500,000 figuring out why I was fat.
Right.
I mean,
if we really want to crack the Aspreys nut, I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, let's put a pin in that. I want to come back to that. Let's wrap up this.
I'm jumping the gun here.
Let's just wrap up this guy real quick. But yeah, I mean, look, this is actually one of the, but here's what I'm saying. This follows on what we were talking about last time. The first 30 days of 2023 have been bending space and time. Like
crazy. It's
like I don't even know what's happening right now. Right. And it's amazing in literally every way I could imagine.
Yeah. And that was just chat GTP that knocked your socks off, because you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
No, but it's like that. Yeah. It's just, I'm just saying, like, we're seeing more people taking bigger leaps right now. And this guy's like, I think a little batshit, $2 million. I mean, even for a marketing shtick, $2 million is a ton of dough. I mean, you know, like unless you are using these humans in other product development, R&D, or something for another thing.
And they probably are. They probably aren't just sitting there waiting for him to take
well,
it that, down.
Well, you that's know? What I'm saying. Like, yeah, exactly. And I guess if you can play the marketing game, then you're going to just count their full salary, even though they might be dedicating 10% of their time to this. Who knows what the fucking right answer is. But my point is like, doesn't take even, you could take a third year marketing major who can figure this narrative out real fast. Like, all right, so what is the toilet paper cost? We're going to want to add that. And printer paper, you guys use a lot of that. We should maybe think about putting that one in the total.
and maybe even some expenses he didn't incur. Look, we got free shipping because we ordered this in bulk, but it would have been
$600,000. Right. But I mean, okay, so I can't take it anymore. So like, here's the thing. These fucking dudes, I mean, there is something happening at the higher register of the space that just is increasingly annoying.
And my tipping point was right around COVID. Right around when they're like, I'm fine. You'd be fine if you did this. Right. Fuck all those people that didn't take care of their health. And all you got to do is take vitamin D. You'll be all right.
Sure. Well, there was
a mass pandemic.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So grandma over there, well, that didn't have access to any of this.
Well,
She should die.
I would tell you where I got sort of bummed out is that COVID turned all of these people into something they weren't before.
They're fucking gurus. It turned them into like cult leaders.
Right. And it's like, it's funny. I mean, like we were just talking about it, like, you know, with the blessing and curse of N of one, like these guys are one person. And yeah, so, you know, Greenfield's got, you know, he was a personal trainer and everything. And so he's
extreme athlete, hands down, amazing. He's a brilliant guy. He knows.
Well, I'm saying he's touched people though. Like he has thousands and thousands of
you know, but when they see his, and this has always been my complaint with him, he'll post a regular, this is my daily routine. And it's like, that is so inaccessible to the rest of us that have to work.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you carved that out. You created it. You built it. Good for you. But you, with that comes this cult of personality.
Sure. And like, yeah, well, I remember getting a little almost borderline clinically depressed when I found out that Ben Greenfield's water treatment plant that he built for his house was like $100,000. Like, because it was like a structured water maker out of an old refrigerator that had to go through like a demineralization process to get then reverse osmosis to then get charcoal, then to get remineralized on the other side, then structured again. And you're like,
but like also when, once we start going to that structured argument, yes, you have a few scientists that are saying this is real, but it's not widely accepted. And once again, are we buying into something because that's our bias?
Well,
you know, are we hanging on to a couple of studies that may be good, but that's not telling a whole picture, you know?
Well, I mean, it goes back to the same thing. You want to live forever, and all of a sudden you find out this water is better than that water. What's the worst case scenario is you just bought expensive water. I can live with that. What's the best case scenario? You live to die
forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, well, this seems like a pretty rational roll of the dice.
And when it is your business and your persona is your business, that's a fucking write-off.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, no, I absolutely. But I mean, but the thing that pisses me off about like, so yeah, I do agree with you. The Ben thing, like that was always sort of.
And I always feel like he, but I also feel like he's a milder one in that space too. Right. You have more people doing more extreme stuff.
I think he's the most. I mean, he's clearly commercially driven. Like,
a 1,000%. But I also think he's one of the more knowledgeable ones.
No, but that's where I was going with it. I said, even though he is definitely one of the more commercially successful people who are rolling this model out, he seems A, genuinely concerned about people, like in general. And B, he is stupid knowledgeable about a lot of shit. Like, and he is like super dialed in on.
Were we talking about this, you and like when he was on Joe Rogan and Joe Rogan?
Yeah, he's like, but I know nothing else.
Like that was like Joe Rogan changed the subject and he just kind of went dead.
Yeah, he's like,
you're not talking about things I know.
Yeah, I don't have anything to offer this.
I have absolutely no opinion on anything outside of this little world.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, that's not even surprising. I mean, the amount of research that dude's got to be involved with. I'm sure at this point he's got an army of research people.
Well, sorry, man, I didn't mean to step on you there. But like one of the things that, and this is not a knock at anybody with autism or a knock at Ben Greenfield. He has almost that fixation, right? Sure. That he's like, I am hyper focused on this and I will know everything about it. I'm kind of complimenting him there. In fact,
well, I mean, and I think that like people have to like be helping him get these things. Like, I mean,
oh, absolutely. He's got a team of researchers.
Right.
Put this in front of me, chew it up and put it on my plate. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And I think that the hard part about that, and I would be interested to talk to him or somebody like him about this one day, is like how deep.
Well, we won't piss him off too much then. I won't take too many, headshots at him.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, he's a great example because like he has to be, look, there's no, like, they're not swearing on that show. They're not being doctors, but they're kind of really super medical. So like they draw a pretty professional crowd.
Yeah.
Like I would, but that being said, they also, you know, an average show of his actually takes a lot of different, it takes a pretty wide berth. So like when you're going down that road, you can't get like super, super deep on any one thing before you move it on to the next. So like, I don't know, how deep do those things go? And like, I mean, and then like a follow-up is like, how much do you care about it tomorrow?
This is the thing that like really chapped my ass about Dr. Oz, right? You watch one episode and here's five weight loss things that you should be doing.
Yeah, I know.
It's, right. You know, or, you know, like, and it's not that even the information might have been bad. It's just like, how many people in the audience does this actually apply to?
Well, if we wanted to have a million visitors, like in a month, we know the formula. You write.
Oh, absolutely.
You make it a weight loss.
We have a weight loss protocol it'll work for a few people.
Sure.
And you parade them around like, oh my God, Tammy over here was 400 pounds. And now look at her. She's 120 pounds and smoking hot. You know,
right.
It's not rocket science there.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because everybody's done exactly that. But like, I guess where I was going with that is like, you've got some people like Ben Greenfield where you're like, okay, you're a little cheesy with all this commercialization, but I guess, then you got like Dave Asprey and I gotta be honest, I was
so into him, man,
and I never fucking got into him.
I'll admit it, I bought him hook, line, and sinker off the book. I got his fucking orange ass book somewhere.
I mean, and so listen, admittingly, I might have like a Dave Asprey fail bias, right? Like I kind of rooting for it in a lot of times.
I honestly think he's gonna get his.
I mean, look, remember the orgasmic meditation fucking
episode, right? Didn't he have somebody on from that?
I don't know, but I'm sure that would not surprise me. But when we were talking about that, right? Like this, his whole entire existence feels like a different orgasmic meditation to me.
And I will 1,000% agree with you. Now I was a little starry eyed with like, look, we put butter and oil in the coffee and it's genius.
So now I don't want to say, let me put an asterisk next to my comment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think everything he does and stands for is like absolutely abysmal, but
yeah,
his ideas, that doesn't mean that his ideas or some of the ideas that he's had aren't actually useful.
I would agree with that. I think the mannerism, and you can tell it's all about the sale.
Sure. Well, right? I mean, I did Bulletproof forever, and I didn't do their coffee, so I did my coffee.
I did once. I bought it once, and I'm like, no, there's better coffee.
Yeah, there's better coffee.
There's easily better coffee, and it's cheaper.
I had it, I think. I'm not even sure if this is true, but I think I want to say I had it like a friend had it, the actual coffee, and we didn't drink it with butter and everything, but I just drank it like coffee. And
like regular coffee.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, but moreover, like Bulletproof is something you make at your house. Right. So like you have your coffee that you drink at your house that like, no, fuck you. I don't care what you're, you know, bitch. This is my fucking coffee.
and like I could go on a tirade about Joe Rogan too, but Joe Rogan did call him out on that.
Oh, so I was I was going to get into that too.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm jumping.
No, you're right. But no, that's exactly what I was saying. You go for it. Like that's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Joe Rogan's like, look, we checked like Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, and everyone knows about these mycotoxins. They're not a secret. Everyone figured out how to get rid of that. We all knew, like, you know, and we could say that Rogan is backing Onnit that sells its own coffee. So there might be profit motivation to take him down. But at the same time, you know, like, look, that's not a patented, reliable secret sauce that you're doing there. It's coffee.
It's coffee. And so, like, look, I actually know people that didn't like Bulletproof, but here's the thing. My skin was never fucking healthier looking.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too when I was doing it on the regular. My mental
clarity was fucking off the charts. Like, yeah. I mean, it was like, and like I had a sustained energy that lasted hours, hours, and not like jittery, but like. And so, and my hair was fucking silky. Like,
I'm going to have to go back to doing it now. Now you're talking me back into it.
Yeah,
damn it.
It was great. And I stopped. I can't remember why I stopped, but just like any other thing.
I stopped because I ran out of the MCT oil one day. Oh, right. And I was like, you know, I'll just put some.
Yeah, but did his original recipe even call for the MCT oil?
It did. I think that was his secret sauce. But you know,
I thought it was just butter and coffee originally.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was thinking he's going to end up launching butter. You know, like a butter product.
Or a fucking co-brand with Kerrygold.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, because he was pushing Kerrygold, you know?
Well, because let's be honest, there's no other fucking butter a human should be consuming other than
Kerrygold. It is the most delicious butter on the planet.
There's
like Irish maidens singing songs to the cows or something. I'm going to go up and eat some right now.
You know, it's funny
like
how
we get
smart,
done with this.
You know how smart marketers are, though? I used to make my own ghee for years.
Yeah.
And I would only make it with Kerrygold, right? And Sarah's like, you're just making ghee. You're melting it in a pot. Just fucking get cheap fucking butter. And I was like,
you're going to get all the milk solids out anyway.
I was like, yeah, exactly. You're taking everything out of it. I was like, and then second of all, like the difference between regular butter and Kerrygold is like, I don't even know. Is it a dollar?
It looks different.
Is it?
As far as price wise,
is it a dollar different?
It might be two or three, depending on where you get it.
I have no idea what the difference is, but whatever it is, we're talking about single digits.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I make ghee like every 3 months. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this was, you know. So in my order of considerations, I'm like, all right, look. I'm just gonna buy the fancy expensive butter, even though because it's not that much more. Like it wasn't like, oh my god,
you're not rebudgeting your entire family's plan to cover the increase in butter costs. Yeah. Right.
And then guess what? 2 seconds after I started doing that, I feel like somebody was like, huh, that's interesting. And then by a year, it's like somebody's like selling grass-fed, grass-finished ghee. And I was like, and there you have it.
And there you have it.
And guess what?
You know, and you're starting to see more grass-fed, grass-finished butter out there too. You don't even need the Kerrygold now.
And guess what? The fucking butter that they use, the price of that ghee is the exact same cost as the old ghee. So it wasn't even like they were pinning out the price. They were basically like, look, so if you're a guy who knows what the word ghee means, you probably wanted grass-fed. So we're just going to do that. And you'll buy more of this. Like if we made it more money, you probably wouldn't, but you, 'cause you can keep making it yourself. And yeah. basically, I got their ghee cheaper than it was for me to
make it
cheap
yourself.
As it was. Yeah. Like, it was still cheaper for me to buy their bottle of ghee than mine.
Yeah, I found
to sit there for like 40 minutes, you know, slow melting butter. Down, yeah, melting like, butter down. Yeah, I mean,
I will say I liked the butter better than the ghee in it. And solely because I felt like the milk solids add a frothiness.
No. I didn't put ghee in the coffee. No.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Because I tried it both ways. And then if you use ghee, you don't get that. You know, when you blend it, it's almost got a cappuccino kind of property to it. Yeah, you know, right, you don't get that if it's just pure
man,
ghee.
I went all in, man. I went out and got the immersion blender and fucking, I used to go to races.
I bought a whole...
Like I'd go to races with an immersion blender in my suitcase and like bags like of all kinds of shit, butter, cinnamon. I mean, I have a freakish cinnamon habit with coffee and stuff. And it was because that was my bulletproof, right? It was MCT, cinnamon, Kerrygold.
See, I put cinnamon and vanilla in. Like
You were going all out.
Well, you know, I was trying all sorts of stuff, and then somebody's like, put a little turmeric in it.
Yeah, turmeric would have been good. Yeah,
I didn't like the taste. I gotta say, turmeric. I don't. I get it. It's so healthy for you. I was taking a high dose turmeric supplement for a while.
Yeah,
and like all my little cracks and joint squeaking kind of was like at a dull like whisper.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it kind of upsets my stomach.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm always cautious because like I used to have vitamin problems, but now things that like I just got on the brand I use for the Trace Minerals is just Trace, right? Like,
okay, it's literally called Trace. Yeah,
it's this guy right here. But they now have a zinc, and like Sarah had all kinds of like you know, stomach problems from taking liquid zinc. And it does say on the back of the Trace Minerals, like don't take more than 30 drops of this because it could cause GI issues. Or
I can totally see that. Those are not really easily absorbable things, and if they're kicking around in your gut, they could cause some problems.
Yeah, well, so I guess I got an interesting biology because that shit doesn't even faze me. Like I had the dog scared me, and I like squeezed too much one time, and like it was, I mean, it was probably close to 100 drops. Like I mean, it was like. A lot got in there, right? And I was like, whatever.
Yeah, you know, one dose, you know, it's probably, you know, the repeated would be the issue, I think.
Well, and then so the zinc, Sarah's like, woo, I don't know, I'm out. I had a terrible experience. And it says the same thing on here. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll just try the up. Like, I think it says between quarter and half gram or half milliliter, sorry, quarter to half milliliter. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just try a half, see what happens. Worst case scenario, it's my stomach. Dude, and they said, don't ever take on an empty stomach. I was like, oh shit, I read that after I'd taken it on an empty stomach. Yeah, nothing happened at all. Like, it was like, you know, meanwhile, if that would have happened, you know, to Sarah, she'd be keeled over in pain.
Yeah. So, well, and that's gets back to that N=1 thing, you know, like you're fine, but somebody else goes over.
Speaking of douche equals one, let's get back to Asprey for a second, right?
Yeah. Like,
so this guy, same fucking story as the orgasmic meditation, right?
Like, uh-huh.
Like you back somebody and not just backed him. I mean, it was almost like, you know, I'm going to just bend you over and literally insert my tongue in your asshole. Like, I just love like talking about you. And then like when it comes out that they're douche, like there's like literally no acknowledgement of it. I mean, same thing happened with the orgasmic meditation people, right? Like you think fucking, what's her name from Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow. You think Gwyneth Paltrow ever fucking acknowledged that these people were fucking lunatics? No, not a fucking chance. Like, you know, and now I got to take that back. It's been a year since I've looked up that story. But last I checked, no, there was nobody, not Vanity Fair, Vogue, none of them. No, not a single person said, whoops, our bad. You know, like, and it's like, why not? You know, like, we live in a world that like, and you know what? Fauci, you get all these people getting up hit Fauci's ass. They're like, Fauci's an idiot. One day he says this, one day he says that. I'm like, well, yeah, no, you know, shit.
He's given new information and he's assimilating that into his current, correct. You know.
And it's like, and you know what? I just love how he does it. He's just sort of like, yeah, so today it's different. Here's how it is. Like, and it's very matter of fact and very, very clinical and like.
But even that, the conspiracy theorists are like, "Oh my God, he lied to it." No.
You're an idiot.
He learned something new and he changed his opinion,
right?
Which you guys swear you do all the time, but you'll die on the stupidest fucking hill.
Yeah, you will die on the dumbest fucking hill. So here's the thing: if I'm anybody, Vanity Fair backing some orgasmic meditation people, or fucking Dave Asprey backing Liver King.
Oh my God.
Like, what is wrong with just being like, so it's come to my attention that this guy is a giant douche nut. So everything I said.
Well, I mean, like, you know, here's what happened, man. Here's how I brought this to us.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through and I see a title that says Liver King sued for $25 million from his customers.
Sure.
And I'm like, good, fuck that guy. Yes, everyone knew he was juicing. No one looks like that not juicing.
Sure.
No one does. Knew it. And then I scroll down further and I see like Dave Asprey's signature on the thing. And I'm like, motherfucker, it's from one of his posts. And I just gave it a heart.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, let me
can't
read
take that
what
back. The internet's let, forever.
Let me read what Dave wrote, which was like, I don't understand what the big deal is. No one does their own research. And, you know, he was just optimizing his own biology. Yes, he spent $10,000 a month on steroids. And it's like, look, dosage is important, right? Like there's a range where our hormones should be. Clearly, he was well above that.
Right.
You know, secondly, his whole marketing campaign was, take this supplement, look like me.
Right.
That is false fucking advertising.
Yeah, you're never going to look like him.
And then I'm like, let me look at the comments.
Why do you read
Holy shit. Because I wanted to see how many people thought like me and were like, hey, Dave, you're wrong on this one.
Right.
Okay. Nope. 1,000% fanboys. Oh, my God. This woke culture. Oh, my God. No one does their motherfucker. You're sucking off Dave Asprey right now. Tell me about you doing your own research.
Right. Yeah. Well, where's
Dave
your
said
lab
something and it's great.
Where's your lab located again? Like, sorry.
What's in your saved history on PubMed, bro?
Yeah,
bro?
Right.
Just tell me what the last study that you actually read from a journal was.
And no, that person's no, gonna you're, be like, you're, no, that guy's gonna be like, what's PubMed?
What's PubMed? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, motherfuckers, Dave has been gaslighting you motherfuckers with weak stuff for years now because he's selling shit.
Right.
The fact that he's defending Liver King, immediately I'm going, what's Dave hiding?
Yeah, right.
What bullshit did he sell?
When you think about that though, like I guess you got to kind of peel back the motivation too, be in the sense of like, what is it like? In a way, it would be very on brand for a guy like Asprey to be like, let's take the biohacking side of this and say like steroids aren't illegal, but for a draconian lens of modern Western society. Right. So perhaps that we should look at this as like, he is a champion of biohacking.
But it and wasn't, like, it's like, what's so wrong here? He just optimized. No, what is wrong is he lied to people to make
money. Which
has
nothing to do with what he took.
Right. What he took, right? Yeah. You know, you want to eat bull's testicles all day? Fuck, have at it, man.
You just suck the bull right off. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, why not? Have you ever heard that joke where a guy goes to Spain, right? Oh, shit. We're going to do a little side rail here so I can tell a bad joke. Yeah. I love it. But he goes to Spain and he goes to this one restaurant outside of a bull arena, you know, bullfighting arena.
Sure.
And he sees this guy sitting at the table and this guy comes out. He's got these two giant meatballs on a plate. And he goes, well, what is that? He goes, well, when, you know, like if you order that ahead of time, when the bull is killed, we can serve you the bull testicles. He goes, okay, what's the next open day? I need to experience that. That is true Spanish culture. Let's do that. So he goes, oh, the next opening is, you know, next week and it's on Tuesday. Right. You know, that's right after the fight. You'll get them fresh. Great. He shows up. He goes, all right, I'm ready for it. Guy comes out with this plate. There's two little fucking balls sitting on it. He goes, was the giant bull testicles? He goes, bull doesn't always lose. Sorry, that that's was horrible, hilarious. but
yeah, right. That's funny. That's funny.
It's a bad joke, but it's a funny.
Bad joke, but it's yeah, it's yeah. Yeah. But you got a good point though, right? I like going back to the
Aspen yeah, thing, the like, actual yeah.
These guys, it's funny because like the motivation, it would be on brand for Asprey to be like, you know, we're biohacking, but
and he could have done it neutrally, but he definitely drew his line in the sand. This guy did nothing wrong.
But that's like when that's what I'm saying. Like these people are like of the mindset that like when you fuck up, double down on the mistake. And like, I don't understand.
I mean, that is like, that's like a fascism textbook yeah. play too, right? Like no, I totally. All right. So maybe I slept with the prostitute,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I totally didn't pay her. Well, I didn't pay her with my money. The lawyer had it and then he gave it to her. Right. So technically it wasn't my money.
But see, I mean, so I guess all of this stuff leads me back to the same question that I always have with this, which is like, is there a version of the story where you could have the intelligence of Ben, the fucking wackiness of Asprey, and
yeah.
and not be a raging douchebag that is just commercializing everything? Like, I mean, is there a way?
There has to be a way to do it ethically. Even if you're like, look, I use this equipment, right? Here's my sauna.
Right.
This company sells it. Full disclosure, you buy something from there, you're putting money in my pocket.
Well, Ben does say that now.
He does say that now, but for years he wasn't. You know?
He wasn't. Yeah, no, he wasn't at all. But I'm just wondering, like, I mean, I guess it's like one of those things where, I mean, you know, you want to make, everybody wants to make money, but as soon as you introduce money into this conversation, like, it just kind of derails and it's about
it pollutes right. the actual health benefits.
Because right, like, am I like buying the thing this is
because it's a good product, or am I buying it because an influencer I like is telling me it's good?
Right. And then that's probably the most rightest answer, right? Like, I mean, I don't know anybody who buys anything because they thought it was a good idea. And like, you know, given how savvy these algorithms are, we don't even have to look too hard because it'll find us, right? Like, we don't even have to. Oh,
1,000%. I mean, what were we talking about? Were you like, hey, have you seen this ad?
Right. And then all of a sudden, yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our fucking yeah. whatever Alexa's in your room and Google's in mine. Like, tomorrow we're getting ads for fucking Asprey's coffee. There's no question about it. like that's coming up next.
I thought we were going to get like douches. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you want, apparently, you need a palette of Summer's Eve.
Yeah. and I think it's, I mean, I wish there was a way around it, but like, I mean, you know, the reality is like, you know, you and I split views on this, but like a company like Muse would be a great target for people in our position or similar, like to just be like, hey man, look, we do this thing. Like, would you want to be a sponsor? We'd love to have you, like, blah, blah, blah. Thing is, I don't really love them and I don't want to have to tell people that I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, I think that their technology is amazing. Their fucking engineers are fucking for shit because the things fucking fall apart way too fast.
And I gotcha. I almost feel like it's cost of doing business now. You know, like I think I'm on my third actual headband with that same Muse S, but I'm using it daily.
Sure.
You know, and
yeah, but I've here's been using, the thing, man.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse for shitty workmanship because like, that product should be used every day. In fact, I use my Muse app almost every day.
Yeah.
But I just use it as a timer now. And I use it basically as a timer and a diary. Like that's what I'm using.
And then there's a bunch of other programs that do the same damn thing that cost $2 instead of spending $300 on the tech.
But that was a sunk cost for me. It's already done. So
it's like, already done. So you might as well keep riding that. Just, yeah.
Yeah. And then this goes back to my genesis of recording meditation, right? Like, so I got every session in there. Not that I will ever look at any of them, but still I have them there.
I write notes sometimes and then I'm like,
I stopped doing that too.
Why the fuck am I going to look at this?
Yeah, I'm never going to look at this. I was like, you know, I mean, am I writing this for when like an alien species finds my corpse holding my phone like 6,000 years from now? And then they have this technology where they wave their weird glowing finger over it and it just starts playing shit back, you know?
Like, yeah, on March 9th of 2021.
Yeah, right, right. Oh my God, do you ever watch The Orville?
No, but like, honestly, you're the second person to mention it to me in like the last week.
So there was an episode where he actually, they did that. They actually went back. They found a time capsule buried by somebody like right now, like 2020 or whatever that, whenever that aired. And one of the guys, and this is like 300 years later, you know, started to kind of fall in love with her. He was like, they waved their finger over this phone and it instantly worked and, you know, whatever. They like connected it with like the plasma generator from the fucking ship. And it's like, okay, this never needs a battery again. It just works forever. And so they watch this woman's entire life on her phone, just like we would. And he was able to actually create like a whole simulation with her digital DNA, where the AI, the simulator, basically took her entire photo album and assimilated a personality matrix to then come out in a simulation. So basically he was dating a hologram that was based entirely on real life. Like she actually, like those are real data points, right? But like, you don't have that level of detail for people. So like you think about it, it's a show, but like think about that actually the other way around.
I mean, how many times have we talked about uploading your consciousness now? You know, it's so like
400 years from now, if they found my phone and they could stitch my personality together, they could have probably done that with a lot of people, but they had presumably all that tech had been melted away with time. If you had like what is like probably a one of a kind artifact where you had years
of somebody's life. Yeah.
Of somebody's life where you can pull that apart. Like, you know, and if you laid over some 200 year from now, 300 year from now AI over that, like they probably have all kinds of new information. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of like, crazy to think about,
I don't know what got us down that rabbit hole, but
you know. I don't know either, but like, it's funny where like there's been specials on the Star Trek. They've had things on the Science Channel and things like that where they're like, here's what Star Trek predicted and now we have
kind of things.
And it's like, you know, and Orville is just a comedy of that, right? Sure. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But like I do like it. It's super well written and like episodes like that make me realize that they're just like doing a crazy amount of hallucinogens and like coming up with like some intense, I mean, very cool plots. Like,
I mean, Seth MacFarlane is as irreverent as he is in some of his cartoons and everything is a really good writer.
No, he's an amazing writer.
Some of the shit that like, oh, you're like, oh, that's a vulgar joke or that's gross. It is still like, no, that's
the way to deliver it.
That is something that not a normal person would have thought about. Making that connection is so unexpected and funny.
And like, so yeah, I mean, I know where we're going with this, but now like, we basically say, I think the thing that just rubs me with this whole thing is these guys just have this sort of holier than thou attitude. And like, you know, if you're not doing it this way, you might as well be dead. Like they're putting all this fucking shit on. And then when it comes out that they were just wrong, which is like a built-in part of the human condition, right? Like,
but I mean, wrong. Like, think about anything, like a high carb diet, low fat diet. You know, it's like, what was it? Was a death sentence? No. Was it right? Not exactly either. You know, so like,
I had a guy swear up and down. I gave him a ride home from an event. We had a mutual friend. He's like, "Do you mind giving my friends a ride home as well?" I said, "Yeah, no problem." Tearing my ear off about how the carnivore diet's the only way that humans should live. And I was like, wow. Okay. Well,
you know, but like, and it's funny because I was looking at he's a nutritionist and he's like, look, you know, you'll find these studies that promote carnivore diet and they're well done studies. He goes, but I could say the same thing about veganism. And there are 20 times to 40 times the amount of studies on veganism that there are on carnivore diets. So if we're going by volume of data, veganism wins.
Sure, right.
You know, so like quality of research, a lot of these studies are great on both ends.
Well, and then you have like the China study, which basically like gets torn apart all the time because of how they did. But I'm like, but the data's right. Like there's a like an insurmountable amount of evidence that
that's the thing that's weird. maybe you're coming to the wrong conclusions. Maybe there's a variable you aren't looking at. But like when you have that volume of data, like you got to pause and go like there's something here.
I think that's the right way to put it. You got to pause. Like you might not.
It may not change your thought process. But like, if you're immediately going, no, fuck that. Well, why are you like that?
Is it a visceral? Yeah. Right. But the most interesting part of that journey is this conversation, right? Like where you can sit down with somebody and be like, yeah, man, I did bulletproof coffee forever because like I it's mitotoxin free. Then I found out that was a line of shit. And I fucking stopped because like that was my, you know, the one pin that I, the one thing I had in this race, one stake I had in this race was that it was my mycotoxin free. And all of a sudden I find out that the one binding post I have to this is bullshit. So I'm out. That conversation is wildly more interesting than just ignoring it ever happened in the first place.
Yeah.
Bulletproof coffee. What's that? I know. I've never even heard of that. You're like,
honestly, you want to hear something that like my wife is like, oh, fuck, you're that guy. We rolled up to the Atwaters drive-thru. Right.
Okay.
And my wife drives because she gets car sick and I hate driving. So she pulls up and she's ordering their chicken salad's delicious. And they got a pretty good gluten-free loaf of bread there. So I don't really like their coffee. But I was like, oh, you know, I'm out of my usual stuff and it's got to be single origin, high altitude, particularly Central America. My wife's like, well, you want a bag of coffee, right? We don't have any at the house. So I was like, yeah, wet processed, high altitude, single origin, Central America. And my wife goes, I'm not saying that to him. I'm not getting on this ride.
Yeah. And you're like, but no.
And my wife is like, no, you say it. And then clearly the dude who was like on the speaker was like, wait, hold on. Is it Costa Rica? Okay. I was like, yeah. I'm like, is it wet process though? He's like, man. And my wife's like, we'll just take it. Just shut up. we'll take it.
And you're like, what? Since when are you so prissy about your coffee?
I was the whitest person in Kenilworth Mall.
I was like saying, like, when did you get so prissy about your coffee, man? I didn't know you had such demanding tastes. Like,
oh, and now I'm like, you know, it's really good when Rofo has the grinder on top of the.
Those new coffee machines are pretty pimp, though.
They're like, fucking you walk in, sweet, you're like, man.
Ding, 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 digital, everything.
And I'm like, oh. And this is a dollar? The 24-ounce one is a dollar now?
Yeah, I love it.
And you guys have stevia?
Oh, man. I mean, but here's the thing. They know their market, man. I'll tell you, everything's marketing. So anyway, what are you getting into these days, man?
Oh, man. I am head down in this Goldman Sachs small business program.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
I think it's going to really, get my practice to the next level in an area that, like, I'll be honest, we had one semester of business and practice management.
Yeah, it's tough.
And it was super weak. And sure. And 22 years out, they're giving me concepts that I'm like, wait, hold on. Is that something all people that have a business degree know? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty basic. And I'm like,
shit.
How did I survive?
Yeah. How did this even happen?
How that's do I not funny. Know how taxes work?
Yeah. And so it's going well then.
It's going well, but I can tell you I'm going to be the dude crying in every class.
Right. Okay. Well,
like how much money did I lose doing that?
Sure. Yeah. I almost don't want to know. Yeah. You know, it's like, don't want to know.
Yeah. What are you up to, man?
You know, I am very preoccupied in designing my space right now, like in this construction project.
You're putting in a home biohacking lab.
No, definitely not doing that. But, you know, it is interesting when you're designing a space for work. Like, that's what I'm doing. So, like, it's the first time I've ever done that. And it's been fun. I mean, I have, like, a different set of, like, things that I'm thinking about. Like, I talked to the HVAC guy yesterday about humidifying. Like I have a humidifier in April Air, like in my house, that came with my house. Like I didn't put it in, but it's a great thing to have. It keeps the, it really increases the RH in your house, and it's great. Like, and
yeah,
you know, especially in wintertime when everyone else is like,
like yeah, so. All right, man. So, Matt, what are you getting into this weekend?
Oh man, I am very much loving this, planning my own, my professional nesting that I'm doing right now. Actually, you know, the, building the offices at the house has been like interesting because I've never done like a professional space design before.
That's crazy.
And I get into all this fun stuff. Like you could do humidifiers in the air. There's like this one thing that they're like, he's going to give me a price on because it sounded expensive and it probably won't make the cut, but it basically is like an ozone filter at the furnace level. So basically like all the air getting circulated through your house essentially gets ionized and, you know, gets a charge and fucking basically it's like a giant ozone. And I'm like kind of sitting there going, well, how much is too much for that? Cause like I have to put a furnace in anyway. So like that part's a sunk cost. Like, is it like 1% more to do this or is it like 30% more to do this? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's like 1%, then I'm not going to lie.
You're in. Yeah. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Like, you know,
but pull the trigger and do it.
I mean, then all of a sudden it's going to smell like a rain cloud all day. Like, which I think is fun. So
there's probably some aromatherapy you can add into
that. That's about it, man. I look for, I told you we should do when the studio's up and done, we should do an episode in there just to kind of,
you got it, man. That sounds awesome.
So, but cool, man. Well, as always, dude, thanks for chatting and
a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Later.
Bye.
Be subversive, irreverent.
Health is wealth, but you knew that.
Everybody knows that.
But so was following us on social media at Irreverent Health. And check out our website for more exclusive content at irreverenthealth.com.
Oh, I like this.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Irreverent Health.